Part 1, ELWA in Liberia, West Africa. Chapter 1, The Little Red Lane. Rowan's Boyhood. Rowan was born, bred, and buttered, as he would say, in the heart of the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, on March 12, 1933. He arrived 1 month prematurely. His mother blamed him for making her miss having perfect attendance in Sunday school that year because he was born on Sunday morning in their little apartment. They lived across the street from the Sears Roebuck and Company's big Atlanta warehouse and retail store. Rowan's mother delighted in telling stories of his escapades and mischief as a little boy. When he was quite small, he decided to help his mother by rubbing mentholatum, like Vicks Vapor Rub, all over the sofa. Another time he sailed his boats in the bathtub. The only problem was the boats happened to be his father's Sunday shoes. They had to be baked in the oven to be dried out. When he was a little older, one of his chores was to clean the bathroom, including mopping the floor. He figured out he could save time by putting layers of newspapers on the floor and just removing a layer at a time when it got dirty. Of course, I'm sure his mother did not agree with his logic for very long. When Rowan was about 5 or 6 years old, his mother planned a nice birthday party for him and invited his classmates from school. He went along with her to the grocery store to buy refreshments for the party. Included in the refreshments were enough Tootsie Rolls for the whole class. As they were leaving the store, Mother realized she had forgotten something she needed. She left Rowan outside to watch the bags of groceries while she went back inside. When she returned, she found all of the Tootsie Rolls had disappeared, and he had telltale marks of chocolate all over his face. "Son, what happened to all the Tootsie Rolls?" she asked. "Oh, they all went down the little red lane," he responded. More Tootsie Rolls had to be purchased before they could go home. Rowan's family attended the large Atlanta Baptist Tabernacle in downtown Atlanta. Some of the folks in the church had stories to tell about his escapades there. The church secretary was horrified to find him climbing the outside fire escape stairs several stories above the street. Many years later, she said, the Lord must have been preparing him to climb radio towers, which he loved to do during our years in missionary radio. Before either of her children was born, Mother Cornelius was challenged by her Sunday school teacher to begin training her children in the things of the Lord from birth. She began with her daughter, Mary Ann, and continued when Rowan was born a year later. She sang to them about Jesus, prayed with them, and repeated short Bible verses to them from the time they were a few days old. As they grew, she illustrated Bible stories by dramatizing them with teddy bears. Rowan was very small, probably 3 or 4 years old, when he realized he had done wrong and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive him and come into his heart. Not long afterward, his mother overheard him explaining to a little friend how to be saved. When he was just a boy, Rowan loved to tinker and try to fix things. His mother allowed him to take an old alarm clock apart and put it back together. When he was older, he repaired many clocks and watches for people. He was Mr. Fix-It all through his life. Rowan had a very inventive mind. When he was in high school, during the days when polio was rampant, he put together a miniature iron lung using his Erector set and a tin can. He put a doll's head on it and two small balloons inside the can that represented the lungs. A small motor underneath worked the air inside the can and made the balloons fill and release as if they were breathing. He made a window in the can so people could look inside and see the balloons working. Of course, he had no idea his future wife would suffer with polio 600 miles away and barely escape having to be put into a real iron lung. When he was a teenager, he made a large relief map of the area surrounding the Mediterranean Sea, depicting Paul's three missionary journeys. He wired small bulbs at each of the stops Paul made on his three journeys. The map contained three buttons, one for each of the missionary journeys. If the button was pushed for the first missionary journey, the lights would illuminate in sequence at each of Paul's stops on his first journey. The second button would activate the second journey, and the third button, the third missionary journey. Both the miniature iron lung and the map of Paul's missionary journeys were on display for a few years in the science lab at Bob Jones University during Roland's university days there. In fact, my biological science teacher demonstrated them to our class when I was attending BJU. I did not know who this clever young man was, or that I was destined by the Lord to be his missionary wife someday. Roland's parents prayed for the Lord's guidance regarding what college or university he wanted their children to attend. They were not interested in sending them to one of the denominational schools where their faith might be destroyed. One day, the music director of their church, Atlanta Baptist Tabernacle, gave his testimony of attending a school which wholly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as Roland's parents heard that, they asked him what school he attended. When he told them he had gone to Bob Jones University, they said, "That is the school we want our children to attend."